Fly ball, left field. It's deep. And it is grand slam. Reese Hoskins is a bomb into the second deck for Bryce Harper. How about this for a homecoming? That is crushed. Craig and a miss, and the ball game is over.
Hey guys, and welcome to Broad Street to Britain, a UK Phillies podcast. And on today's podcast, it's a special one because earlier on, I spoke with NBC Sports Greg Murphy. And I'm not going to lie, I'm still buzzing from the chat we had. It was about half an hour ago I got off the phone and we were discussing the Phillies. We were discussing the insight he has into the Phillies and into the locker room. The amazing job he has and the amazing job he does with the rest of the NBC team. And of course, questions from you guys on Twitter and Facebook for Greg. That was all covered. But first of all, I'd like to say a massive thank you to all of you who have listened to the podcast so far. We're blown away by the listening figures so far. It's literally taken off better than we ever expected. So please keep subscribing, keep rating, and thank you so much for listening. So on Thursday, we will get to me and Ryan. We'll cover the month we've had so far and the month ahead. But in the meantime, this was me with Greg Murphy. Enjoy. So here we go. It is fantastic to say that joining me right now is Greg Murphy. Greg, how are you?
I am doing great. I'm enjoying an off day after three straight wins by the Phils. So all is good over here.
What do you do on an off day, Greg, out of curiosity?
It's very glamorous. Let's see. I've done three loads of laundry from my last road trip, and I've cleaned my house a little bit, and I've caught up on some bills. So that's about it so far.
Oh, that is a glamorous lifestyle. You sold it there.
Yes, it is.
The current season so far, as the first month we round up, 16-12, despite a lot of dodgy losses, some rocky losses, and the Phillies still sort of trying to find themselves. We've had a good start to the month, haven't we? 16-12 after facing the Nats twice, the Mets twice, and the Braves, and a good Rockies team. You can't really argue 16-12, can you?
No, you really can't. And you know, to your point, there are a couple of games there, two different games where we lost with one strike to go to get the win. So you look at that and you think, oh man, you know, we could have had two more wins, 18 wins at this point. But yeah, I think you take a step back and you say to yourself, all right, you'd be, you know, a couple games up in the division at this point. You played your division well. I think we're 15-8 against the NL East at this point. I think if you would have asked us at the beginning of the season, yeah, you know, you would take it. Is there better baseball to be played by this team? I think so. I really do. I don't think we've seen the full potential of this lineup yet. And, you know, we've had some games where the bullpen was a little shaky. We've had some games where the starting pitcher was shaking. And I guess that's baseball. But I do think that there is better baseball to be played by this team, which I think is exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, you just feel that it all hasn't quite clicked yet, has it? And it's, mm-hmm. it's going to click. And not only that, but the other teams in the division haven't really got going yet either. The Nationals really are struggling with their bullpen. The Mets and Braves look very inconsistent as well. So it's good to have a 16-12 lead. And there's still so much more to come, as you said. Who's really impressed you so far, other than, you know, Hoskins is on for a 40 plus home run campaign at the moment, but who's really stood out for you so far?
Well, I'll give you two, and one is not a surprise at all, but Michael Franco and what he has been able to do this season has been nothing short of remarkable. You know, out of the eight hole, now he's not your typical eight hole hitter, because he is an extremely talented guy who was a middle of the lineup guy his entire career. But he's kind of taken to this spot down in the lineup and has just made it his own. And he has just been so impressive. And the one thing that folks might not know about Michael is he does it always, and he has for years, but he always does it with this enjoyment and this happiness that surrounds him at all times. He is constantly joking around and smiling and having fun playing the game of baseball. And I don't think he's ever had as much fun as he's having right now. So he's been terrific. That's one. The other one I think is a little bit of a surprise. And maybe it's just he's finally realizing his potential, and that's Vince Velasquez. We have seen Vince really come out this beginning of this season and do exactly what the organization is asking him to do, and that is control the game, control his emotions, throw strikes, use his overwhelming ability to, you know, get the fastball up there and command it and do the little things that a pitcher needs to do to be successful. He's doing that, and he's doing it with a ton of confidence. So he has been a terrific surprise this year. And guess what? Phils are going to need him down, you know, throughout the season if they're going to have success. Yeah,
absolutely. And what I love about them as well, they're both still so young. Mm-hmm. I sometimes forget how young Franco is. He's only 26.
Yes.
You know, I keep thinking he's older, but there was so much speculation in the offseason about Franco losing his place. We'll get Moustakas in or Machado in. And, you know, everybody was talking about Franco's potential trade bait, but he's put it all to one side. He's not let it get to him. He's come back into this new season in spring, and he has just hit the ground running. And I love that about a player who's, you know, not up against adversity, but up against a lot of speculation. And for a young man like him, he's just dealt with it so well. And I'm so happy for Michael, because you see at times last year, he's got it. It's there, but just consistency. His strikeout rate is right down. And I agree. I am just so happy for Michael, who, as you said, always plays with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
Looks like he enjoys himself, especially this year, as do the whole team. Have you noticed the chemistry in the team has just completely changed this year with the additions of McCutchen, Harper, Segura, and Robertson?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say completely changed, because I don't want to shortchange what they had last year, because I do think that team last year really enjoyed being around one another and playing the game together. However, I do think it's kicked up a notch with the additions of the guys that you just mentioned. And some of the younger guys, a guy like Scott Kingery, who really was trying to find his way last year, now has kind of found it all. You know, he's obviously on the injured list right now, but you know, he had him into the mix, another year of Andrew Knapp and him feeling comfortable, and, you know, some of the young relievers. So I think it's come even further than it was last year. These guys genuinely enjoy one another's company, and they enjoy being around one another. Even when they're not required to be around one another, they are. And that's good to see, because I do think you don't have to have that in a baseball team, but I think it helps, and I think it's important for a group of young guys to feel that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Who do you think, being close to the locker room, who brings the most energy? Who do you see as the guy who, because to me, from the outside, it looks like McCutchen brings a lot of energy to that locker room. Is that the case?
McCutchen's definitely on the list for sure. He kind of brings that quiet's not the right word. He's a very funny guy, but he picks his moments to be funny. And I think if you were just talking straight energy to the room, I think I would probably say Michael. I would say a guy like Hector Neris. I would say, I'm sorry. Oh, Adubel for sure. Absolutely. So guys like that, you know, and then there's guys like Reese and Bryce and David Robertson, who bring like this steady, positive influence at all times. And, you know, again, you mix those together and it's a pretty good combination.
It really is. And for you, working with the NBC family and the chemistry you guys have with T-Mac, with John Kruk, with Ben Davis, it comes across so, so well, I've got to say. You guys spend, 6 months of the year together? It's like a family. Is it always that ups? Is there ups and downs? Is it like a family? Is it always so good? Is it what it comes across on TV?
Honestly, I would say yes, it is for the most part. I mean, do we ever get into a little bit of an argument here and there? Sure. Generally, it's an argument over something baseball related that we disagree with one another. We are very lucky in that you can add in, you know, the radio guys as well, who we spent a lot of time with, you know, Scott and Larry. We're very lucky that the group you just named, there's nobody in that group that needs to be number one. And that's an odd thing in sometimes in television and radio in the States, you know, there's a lot of ego driven people, but we don't have any of them. And that is, I think, makes it so enjoyable. And we really do. We genuinely like one another. We enjoy being on the road together. We enjoy, you know, sharing virtually every meal and cab rides and buses and planes. And we have a lot of fun. We laugh a lot. And like I said, we're lucky, because if there was one person that kind of upset that chemistry, it would probably do a lot of damage. And I always say the nicest compliment, and so I'll say thank you, the nicest compliment we could ever forget is that that's what comes across over the airwaves, because it is genuine. And that's just a nice way to be thought of, that we're kind of bringing, you know, a little bit of happiness over the airwaves.
No, it really does. And I listen, where we have, obviously we're out the country and we have MLB TV, and we listen, I watch, if the Phillies aren't on, and I've got some fancy baseball players going elsewhere, I'll flick on to different games, different streams. And I'm not, okay, it's going to sound a bit biased, but some of them just don't, it's not the same as you guys at NBC. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's just the chemistry you have. It's like, you're down the pub and you guys are having a chat, and we're like all invited, you know. You make it feel warm, and we're all you like bring us all into that family, and that's what I love about it so much.
Well, that's awesome. That's an awesome way to think about it, and I'm really glad to hear that. So thank you.
No worries. Is there anything in the job you ever take for granted, in terms of, like, do you still get the buzz of going to Citizens Bank Park and other ballparks? I like a fan. And do you find yourself standing there for the big moments, cheering the team on? Or because you've been there so much, do you find that it's not quite the same?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. So I've had this conversation with other people, and sometimes I get angry at myself for taking particular things granted. Because I have experienced them so often, and then I stop and realize, you know what? You know how lucky you are to get to experience these things over and over and over again. So to answer your question, yeah, sometimes I do take things for granted, but I really do try very hard not to. I don't get starstruck very often when I meet an athlete or an actor or a musician or anyone like that at this point, because I've had that experience often, and that's very nice. And as long as the people are respectful and nice to me, I'm that way back, and it's all great. The thing I never take for granted is the excitement of being a part of the team. And I am cheering, you know, in the eighth and ninth inning when things are tight and we need a strikeout or a big, you know, two out hit. I'm on my feet and I'm clapping just like another fan, because I grew up in Philadelphia. I grew up right outside of Philadelphia, and I grew up a Phillies fan. So first and foremost, I'm a fan. So I don't take that part of it for granted, but maybe some of the experiences that I get to do, I do sometimes.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Do you ever find yourself maybe after a blown save, do you have to sort of recompose yourself? Do you get down with the fans as well? It's like, oh no.
I do.
Anyways, you've got to interview them. It's like, oh, I've got to recompose myself. And
I really do. Sometimes I take the losses hard, and I'm driving home and I'm like, you know, a couple of those losses earlier this year were pretty hard to swallow. But the beauty of baseball, and I've covered all four major sports here in the United States. The beauty of baseball is you get back at it the next day. And that really does make a difference, you know, covering football or covering even the NHL or the NBA, where it's a week in between games, or at least a couple days is in between. That's hard, but for us, sometimes we get back at it 8 hours later, and once that next game starts, we're able to put the other one behind.
It's brilliant. And do you ever have moments when you just sit in the dugout with the Phillies players, or you're at one of the great ballparks around the USA, and do you ever just think, I have the luckiest job, the best job in the world?
Well, you know, I do, because I think I've told you that before, but I do. I believe how I'm so very lucky to get a chance to do what I do. And I pinch myself all the time. You know, doing what I do for a living is such a great thrill. Add in the fact that I'm doing it with the team that I grew up rooting for since I was about 6 years old, and doing baseball, which has always been my favorite sport. So for all those reasons, yeah, I know how lucky I am. I tell my bosses at NBC all the time, I know how lucky I am, and please don't take it away from me. So hopefully they don't.
No, they can't. They can't, Greg. They can't. Were you working for NBC during the 2008 World Series campaign?
I was. I was working. So at that point, I was working for Comcast, which eventually bought NBC. So I was working for a television station in Philadelphia that was owned by Comcast that then merged with another Comcast station that was then branded NBC. So same group of people, same general area, but I was not with the Phillies in 2008. I was just covering the team as a reporter from the outside. So I joined the organization in 2012 as the field reporter. So my tenure with the Phillies has been wrought with losing more than winning.
I started in 2012, so all I've ever known is losing seasons. So far this year, it's just amazing.
It's getting better, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Sorry, carry on, Greg.
No, I was just going to say, but you know, I remember, obviously, I was a part of the media contingent covering 08 and 09. And those years in Philadelphia were so much fun for baseball fans. And I really think we're getting pretty close to getting back to that point. And you're going to get to experience it. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Trust me.
I'm back out there in June for the Red Series. And awesome. I cannot wait. It's just the buzz around Citizens Bank Park this year seems to be like the crowds have been good this year. Mm-hmm. But every home run is really roared. You know, the crowd are really up for it every game. And it's some years I've been between 2012 and now, and it's been even a home run, it's been a bit flat. It's because the Phillies are having a not the great season, but everybody in Philly, and it comes across over here. And even over here, there's a lot more of us staying up for the night games. You know, we'll get to midnight, we're like, right, we'll watch the first couple of innings. And you know, I stayed up till 2 a.m. when against the Marlins, and Phillies were 10-1 up, and I thought that's safe. And I woke up and we'd nearly blown it. It's like,
it got a little dicey there in the middle of the night, but they were able to hold on. But see, that's so great to hear, and I can't wait to pass that on to some of the folks in the Phillies organization, that there's that contingent that are you know, kind of hanging on every pitch.
It's awesome. There is a few of us over here. There's a lot of people. I'm getting more and more people on Facebook and on Twitter saying that we're in the UK and we're staying up as well in the middle of the night to watch these games. It's only April. You know, we usually save this stuff for July and August when it gets interesting. But already the buzz from Philly is infectious. It's over here. We're all on board. It's been a great. I love this 16-12 start season with so much more to come. Just a couple of other things outside of Philly and Citizens Bank Park. When the schedule comes out, what are your favorite cities and ballparks that you really can't wait to go visit as well?
Oh, you know, there are so many great ballparks and great cities. I love to travel, and I'm traveling inside the U.S. and outside. So for me, I always say San Francisco is kind of the best of both worlds. They have such a beautiful ballpark there, right on the water. It's always packed. They have a great fan base, and the city of San Francisco is just terrific. So the combination of those two together are pretty great. Chicago, Wrigley Field, the great city of Chicago in the summer. Chicago in April, not so great. Chicago in June and July, pretty great.
It's
pretty cold there then. But once the summer hits, it's fantastic. But there are very few places that we go that I think, you know, we got to head down there. In fact, I wouldn't say that about any place, honestly. You know, some are better than others, but for the most part, we're going to these great cities and we're getting a chance to, you know, experience their cultures and restaurants and you know, sightsee, and it's a lot of fun. It really is. So
is there any ballparks you haven't done yet?
There's one that I have not done, and if you call me in 10 days, then I'll have done that one as well, and that's Kansas City.
Kansas City, the Royals. Yeah.
It's the only ballpark I have yet to be. So the last 6 years or so, Kansas City has come to Citizens Bank twice, but we have not gone to them. And so I will tick that one off my list, and I will be officially done with every park in Major League Baseball. Yeah.
Yeah,
is there any ballparks of old that aren't here anymore that you wish you'd gone to? Or
yes, yes. I've never been to a baseball game in Montreal, and I heard Olympic Stadium was just awesome. Now that might change. I mean, you know, maybe Major League Baseball thinks about putting a team back in Montreal. I would love that because I've been to Montreal and I've seen Olympic Stadium, but I've never been to a baseball game there. So that would be one. And then that's probably it, because I think most of the new ballparks probably trump all the old ballparks. Maybe old Comiskey or something like that would have been. Let's see, But, you know, Wrigley's still around. Fenway's still around. Dodger Stadium is pretty great. But those are the three old ones. The rest of them are all pretty new. So,
Awesome. Have you ever been to the UK or back to Ireland? Or
I've been to Ireland twice. I have not been to England yet. My son, who's 17, just got back from London 3 days ago. My daughter's been to London. But I've not been to London, so.
Greg, what are you waiting for? In the off season, you got to get down.
I'm going to. I'm going to. It's on the top of my list. I've never been, but I will be soon. I hope so.
And do you follow many English sports, soccer, into soccer at all?
I follow it. You know, very loosely. Yeah, I do. My son follows it a lot. My son follows much closer than me, and he's always reporting in on the different leagues, what's happening. And I'll catch some games on, you know, NBC and on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings sometimes. But especially during the baseball season, I'm pretty, you know, 100% all in on baseball and don't get a chance to cover or get a chance to watch much else.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
But I enjoy soccer.
That's why it's sometimes great for us. We have soccer during the day and then baseball in the evening and at night. And it's just like sometimes your weekends are perfect, especially Phillies have a day games. You've got the football in the afternoon. The Phillies will start at 6. It'll take you right into the night. So summer weekends like that are perfect. As an Englishman, as for English fans, it's a great time of year.
That sounds awesome. I love it.
And one day, hopefully, when you're over, let me know and I'll take you to a soccer game. Not a problem. And Pasha Young as well.
I would love that. That'd be great.
some of the questions from the UK Phillies from Facebook and Twitter, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Harry Andrews down in Southwest in Plymouth asks, the America's greatest contribution to the culinary world is undoubtedly the Philly cheesesteak. What do you consider to be the UK's best contribution?
The UK's best contribution?
Yeah.
Yeah, to the U.S. Oh, that's a geez. Well, you gave us our independence. That was pretty good.
Yes, exactly. That's the biggest thing of all, isn't it?
Yeah, and you gave us our native tongue, right? I mean, thanks to you, right? We have that. So you know what? I haven't. That's a good question. I have to think about that one. Can I come back
to me on that one. And also, I think when you come over, I will show you, because you've given us a cheesesteak, and I will show you what a good English roast dinner is.
Oh, well, that's
and the classic fish and chips as well. It's got to be experienced.
Okay, I'm on board for that.
Jim McAlhattan, who's actually a Philly expat now living in the UK, says favorite current and all time Philly player and why.
Wow. Okay. So I have a bunch. But if I had to narrow it down, I'll narrow it down to two. And one category, strictly as a fan growing up, my favorite player growing up was Greg Luzinski. And he was on that in the 1980 team. I was 9 years old at the time. Obviously, that won the World Series. Probably when I was nine, my reason for liking Greg was because he had the same name as me. But it's funny because as I grew up and I went to high school, Greg Luzinski became our high school baseball coach. So I had a brief chance to play for Greg Luzinski. And now Greg is at every home game at Citizens Bank Park. So we have a very good relationship now. So he was my favorite player growing up. So I have to say Greg. And then up in terms of players that I've gotten a chance to be around and cover and just enjoy watching them play, again, there's a bunch of them, but I've always loved Carlos Ruiz for everything he did for that team in particular. And he was such a pleasant person to be around, and still is. So I would say Chooch would be my other one.
Absolutely. And again, another player that always played with a smile on his face. He played it in the right way, didn't he? His attitude was just fantastic. He's sort of the guy who looks such a fun guy to be around as well. A little bit of a joker. I saw he hit a home run back. Where's he playing now?
Oh, yeah. He's playing. Where is he playing? We were just talking about this. I guess back in Panama. He just had a home run. So he's still enjoying the game. I hope there's a time when he's all finished playing that he comes back to the States and is part of this organization at some level, whether it be a coach or a scout or whatever. So, but he's a good one, a great teammate. Everyone loved being around him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Paul Gonvey from Scotland says, do you think there's a possibility that the Phillies could be in the London series for 2020? Of course, we've got the Red Sox and the Yankees playing this year in London. It would be great to have the Phillies over in 2020.
Yeah, you cut out just for a second there, but I think what you're saying, is it possible that the Phillies be a part of that that series next year? Yeah, I really do. And maybe I'm just hoping against hope that that's the case, but it seemed to me that the next logical choice after the Red Sox and the Yankees would be the Phillies and the Mets. I think that would be fantastic. I think Philadelphia sports fans would travel in droves over. I really do. I believe that. So hopefully if we have the kind of season that we're hoping to have and go into the postseason and deepen in the postseason, you know, that kind of excitement and buzz will be maybe the push that we need to be selected for that next year. I do think that that's a real possibility, though.
Oh, fingers crossed. When the Eagles came over, the Philly fans traveled in their droves.
Yeah.
When the 76ers came over, a lot of Philadelphia fans came over. So, and again, Mets got a big fan base, the seven-line army.
Sure.
That's what they're called, but they'll all come over. So it would be a great rivalry to have over in London. I know I'm being biased, but I think it'd be good to watch as well for neutral fans in the UK.
Oh, I agree. You're talking about two great franchises, and you know the proximity obviously makes sense from a travel standpoint. So for so many reasons, it just really does make sense. I expect the Yankees Red Sox series to be fantastic over there, and I think once that experience happens, then baseball is going to say, well, we got to do this again. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Jonathan Young up in Doncaster says, on game day, what part of your job do you enjoy the most?
Well, honestly, probably the game itself, because, we have a lot going on before games and a little bit going on after games, but the part I'm able to enjoy the most is the actual, 3 hours of game time. I do a lot of prep work before the game, talking to players, talking to coaches, getting my ideas in order, what I'm going to do. And then once the game starts, I can kind of sit back, enjoy watching the game, jump in when it's my turn, and, have some fun, have some laughs, jump back out. And that part I love. And I especially love getting a chance to walk around the ballpark and, talking to the fans. It's always better when we're winning. If we have a lead, it's just a party like atmosphere, So that's the best part.
I always find as well, Citizens Bank Park, even when the years I've been when we've been losing, but it's such a happy place. Like, fans are just happy to be at baseball as well. It's a day out with the family, with friends. Yeah. And I think that's quite unique to a lot of sports, especially over here. Like, if you go to the football when your team gets beat, you want to get out there as soon as possible and everyone's miserable. But even at the baseball, after we've had some defeats, I still find people, I'm just looking around, people are smiling. They're just so happy to be at the baseball, at the ballpark. There's so much to do. And I that's something I really, really love about baseball.
I think that's true. And I think that goes back to the idea that, we'll play tomorrow too. And yeah, so win or lose, you know, the best teams in Major League Baseball are going to lose 65 games. And you know, the worst teams are going to win 65. And it's kind of what you do in the middle that, that really determines whether or not you're a postseason team. So on any given night, you know, you could win or lose, but there's always that chance to go out there and play again the next day. And I do think that makes it a little bit easier to take.
Yeah, absolutely. A quick couple more.
Sure.
Jonathan from Sunderland says, how far will this team go this season? Also, how does this compare to the 08 team?
Well, so I would compare this kind of situation we're in right now more to the 2006-2007 Phillies. You know, there is a definite uptick in talent. There's a definite uptick in expectations. There's a definite uptick in the way this team views their postseason possibilities. I mean, every man in that locker room, in that clubhouse, believes that they're going to the postseason this year. I don't think that was true last year or the year before or the year before that. So this year, it just feels different. The 08 team had a taste in 07. And we're kind of coming back with something to prove. I don't think we're quite to that point yet. But how far do I think this team will go? I believe we'll be a postseason team. I think we're going to win the division, but I do believe if we don't win the division, we'll end up in the wild card. I think the top two teams in the NL East will be in the postseason, and I think the Phillies will be one of them. So I like the way we started against the division. That's the most important thing. So as long as we can keep winning two out of three more often than not against teams in our division, you know, I think we're looking at maybe an NL East championship, which would be great.
Oh, man. Just those words, you know.
I know. I don't even like saying it out loud.
Oh, man, that's amazing. At Brett5355 says he loves your play-by-play appearances. Have you done it before the Phillies, and any aspirations to do it full time?
Have I ever done it before? No, I had not until the very first time I called a Phillies game. So it was definitely a learning curve for me. I had called other sports. I had called basketball and football before, but I had never called a baseball game. So the opportunity that presented to me was in my third year with the Phillies when Tom needed a weekend off, was a unique one. And I originally told the Phillies that I didn't want to do it, that they should get somebody else. And then Tom McCarthy and Scott Fransky basically pulled me aside and said, are you nuts? This is a lifetime. And I rethought it and I said, okay, all right, I'll do it. And so I guess I've done about 20 games over the last 5 years, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I've learned from two of the best in Tom and Scott. I believe that they're at top of their profession in Major League Baseball. So I've learned a lot from those two. I would love to do it full time at some point down the road. But I just also love being a part of the Phillies organization. So I don't expect Tom McCarthy is going to be going anywhere anytime soon. So I hope not too. So I'm very, very, very happy in my role with the Phillies. If the opportunity arose with a different team somewhere down the road, I would certainly think about it. But right now I'm pretty content filling in and doing what I do now.
Is it quite nerve-wracking doing play by play?
Yeah, the first couple of times it certainly was. Every once in a while you'll get to a moment in the game where you think to yourself, okay, if this happens, be ready because it's big. And yeah. You know, so you almost have to just be consistently aware of the situation that you're in. And I think if you can do that, then you're able to rise to the big moments and, you know, kind of come down to the moments that need to be brought down. But yeah, were there nerves? Absolutely. I've been doing TV for 20 plus years. And the first time I ever did play-by-play, I was very nervous. So I don't get nervous anymore, but I was.
I mean, when you were saying building up to the big players and calling the big players, I think Tom McCarthy does that so, so well. like the Harper first home run. I think Tom nails every home run call and every big strikeout, every double play. Yeah. I think he's one, and I'm, again, it sounds biased, I know, but I think he is one of the best in the business compared to what else I've heard from the other broadcasters. Not putting them down, they are good, but I do think Tom is one of the best.
No doubt. I mean, I'm obviously biased too. He's one of my close friends. That said, I think he's as good as anybody at rising to the occasion of the big moment. And he has just this unique knack to nail every call when it matters. And he does it in other sports too. He works in football and basketball over here as well, and consistently is at the top of his game in those sports as well. So he's one of the best. We're very lucky to have him in Philadelphia, and I'm very lucky to have a chance to kind of learn under, you know, with his tutelage. So
yeah.
I drink it in as much as I can. I really do.
And him and John, and you and John Kruk as well, and Tom, all work so well. Is John like that out of the commentary booth as well? Because
he's a curmudgeon.
It's brilliant.
He is exactly how he comes across on the air, but I mean that in the best possible way. He is he's funny, and he's always been funny, and he's very sarcastic and dry, and at times, you know, can just be, he's so negative, but he's negative in a funny way, and he gets away with it. He gets away with so much more.
He does.
Than anybody else can, just because that's the way he is. And it's almost like a character of himself, but it's really him. And that's why he's beloved, because he's just genuine and real, and he's take me or leave me. I don't care. This is me. I love it.
His sense of humor and his dry sense of humor goes very well with the British sense of humor, because he is so popular over here. Everybody over here loves John. And please pass it on. He's got a big, and Tom, they've got both, and yourself, but as you know, but Tom and John have got such a big fan base over here, and a lot of love from the UK. So please pass that on.
I'll be sure to tell them that, I promise.
One final one from Carl Wendt and Emerson Wilkes. What is your favorite cheesesteak place in Philly?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. That's another.
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah. You know what? So cheesesteaks in Philadelphia are plentiful. You know, there's some famous places that everybody knows about that have great cheesesteaks. And then there's other places that maybe you've never even heard of. But when I was growing up, my father owned a delicatessen that made the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia, if you ask me. So I always have that measuring stick in my mind as I go and I'd have a cheesesteak. If you ask me right now, my go-to would be Campos. Which is there's actually a Campos in the ballpark.
In the there's one on
Market Street downtown in Old City, Philadelphia, which is the original Campos. And you go in there and you get one of their cheesesteaks, and you are living right there. That is it's an awesome experience. So
and then down to Franklin's Fountains for an ice cream after.
There you go. Perfect. You know.
Oh, yeah. I've done it. Oh, yes. I know. Yeah. And yeah, that is living the good life.
It sure is. Yeah. The food in Philadelphia is one of our best qualities, I think. The restaurant scene in Philadelphia is fantastic. But if you're just looking for that ooey gooey traditional Philly cheesesteak, that's a good place to go.
Awesome. Greg, thank you so much for your time and coming on. It's been, you saying it's like, for you, stick the ballpark, you have the best job. But for me, this is a highlight as a fan to talk to you. This is up there. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, let me say this. I remember seeing that you were going to start this podcast, and I thought it was such an awesome idea. And I hope that it sounds like it's growing and growing and is very successful already. So I wish you all the best with it. And please, you know, if we can do anything to help you guys out, I know I speak for the other guys as well. We'd love to help you out, and I look forward to seeing you. You better, you know, let us know when you're coming into town for the Red Series. So I'll look forward to seeing that.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of the season. I hope to get you on later on in the year. That'd be great.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. We'll do this again. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Greg, enjoy the rest of your day off, and we'll listen to you back on the airwaves tomorrow.
Yeah, I got to finish up that laundry, all right?
Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much.
You got it. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.